Hi, and welcome to Adventure Dog Podcast, the podcast all about doing amazing things with your doggos. I'm Nathan Berry, she's Rue the Shark, and this is episode 14. Today, we're adventuring in the kitchen. Rue is taste testing treats, and I talk to Jane and her sweet mutt, Molly, about everything from running to recipes. Happy 4th of July and a belated Happy Canada Day. I hope everyone had or is having a great week or weekend and getting safely through the firework noise and hubbub of the holiday. Today's episode is another running-related interview, and we talk a bit about incorporating your dog's runs into your training schedule. It's a great way to take what is a long and kind of difficult process, like training for a marathon, and making it much more enjoyable. It gives you the chance to have those shared experiences. It's a reason to get out and do those walks or runs every day, even on the days that maybe you're not feeling it. And this goes not just for training for a marathon, but maybe you just have a goal of doing a 5K or just getting active. You can rely on your pups to make you accountable for getting out and being active. And they need it. And they will love you for it. But more than just getting you physically active, it's a mental boost too. Dogs are happiest when they are active, running, playing, and it's infectious. When our dogs are happy, we are happy too. I often get deep into a run or a race and I start to mentally struggle just a little bit. And then I'm reminded of how happy Rue is when she's running, and it brings me back to feeling good. And this brings me to today's interview with Jane and Molly from the Chicago area. And one of the reasons that I like their account so much is because of Jane's relentless positivity. Would be a hard place to find outdoor like trail spots, and of course you've got running in some urban setting stuff too, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe just
of course it's funny because Chicago itself has awesome like lakefront trails. We have, it's called like the Lakeshore or Lakefront Trail that I have a couple pictures on, but then I'm just outside of the city.
Okay.
And there we have just awesome like forest preserve, just more like foresty versus urban.
Sure.
Running trails. So I have the best of both worlds, I'd say, urban and more secluded.
Okay.
Stuff.
I say let's just go ahead if you're ready, because I would love to talk about those things.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready when you are.
Well, great. Well, yeah, if you'll just introduce yourself and your dog.
Sure. My name is Jane and my dog's name is Molly, who I was going to call her Molly, ever sit by me while I'm doing this. Oh, you want to come over? She's coming over, so she can,
that's
she
awesome.
Can, you might hear her beg to be petted.
Oh, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Rue is usually sitting right here next to me when I'm recording, so.
Nice.
Yeah, it works well. So you're on Instagram as the Marathon Mutt, and it's the _marathon_mutt.
That's it. Yep.
Okay. Well, tell me about Molly.
Yeah. So Molly is about 5 years old. We're not sure about her exact age. I just adopted her in January and we think somewhere between 4 and 5.
Okay.
She is a true mutt. It's funny because before I initially got her, we were told she was a pure Australian Shepherd. And I was actually looking at some breeds of dogs that are good to run with. And an Aussie was on that list. And my neighbor actually mentioned that he had a family friend who had an Aussie that she was fostering and was looking to give her a good home. So I was like, oh my gosh, it's meant to be. And then went out to a few towns over. It was about an hour drive over to meet Molly. And I saw her and I was like, well, she's not, definitely not an Australian Shepherd. She's probably partially Australian Shepherd, but she is a definite mutt. But she ran right up to me and was just the friendliest dog and was so sweet. I was like, well, I don't even care. She's not a pure Australian Shepherd because she's awesome and and I love her. So I guess it was meant to be.
She is gorgeous. You can definitely see the Aussie mixed in there. She's got that beautiful, a little bit of speckled kind of merle.
Merle is her little collar. I think she's probably part corgi too, because her legs are a little bit shorter, so that's my guess.
Okay. And let's see, what was I gonna, I have a bad habit of I'll be looking at kind of like the information that you've got here, and I'm also looking at your Instagram, and as soon as I start looking at photos I completely lose track of what I was talking about.
I do the same, don't worry.
I look
especially
at photos
of dogs,
like,
right?
Yeah, totally. I see photos of dogs and I'm like, doggy.
Me too.
So what's life been like since you got Molly? And I guess give me a little bit of background, because you're a pretty active person. You run and you've been active, of course, long before you got Molly. So you were looking to get a dog that was a running dog specifically.
Yeah, exactly. I can't say I'm super hardcore runner, but I'd say casual runner. I do about one big marathon to a 26.2. I do about one of those per year.
I would say that's a runner. If you run, you can officially call yourself a runner.
Sounds good. But yeah, one marathon a year and then some halves and shorter races sprinkled in. But I would see people just out with their dogs running. And I was like, that is just the coolest thing. I've wanted a dog my whole life, just never had, I guess, enough time. The situation hasn't been right for me to have a dog in the past, but now it's kind of settled down. I have a house, have a yard. So I was like, it seems like this is a good time to have a dog.
Well, did you ever have a dog when you were younger as a child?
You know what? I didn't actually. No, my parents were just never okay with it.
Okay.
And my best friend had a dog that I kind of almost considered to be mine. I just always loved them. And any dog I passed by, I had to meet. So always been a dog lover, but Molly is actually the first one that is mine. So
that's awesome.
It's been good. But I just thought it was the coolest thing to be able to kind of be outdoors and then also provide a good life for a dog that should be outdoors for most of the day. I know not everybody is able to kind of spend the time outdoors with their dogs. Some of them just let them run around. And actually I did want to mention that's part of the reason that the lady that I got Molly from, who was her foster mom at the time, she was extremely attached to Molly, but she had three huge like chocolate labs living with her, and she just couldn't have another dog in the house.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't give her away to just anybody. She mentioned she lived mostly around farmland, and she's a kind of a herding breed, so they would kind of let her roam around in the yard, maybe do some or around the farm, maybe do some work around the farm, but they wouldn't necessarily spend as much time with her. And she's like, Molly needs attention. She does. If she sees nobody doing anything and they're not petting her, there's an issue. she needs to have the companionship. And so her foster mom was like, you're a runner, you want to run with her. That's the ideal situation to bring her into. So it seems like it's kind of meant to be on both sides.
Yeah. I'm real familiar with that because my girl she's a Catahoula, so they're herding dogs as well. Well, obviously I live in the city, so there's not a whole lot of work for her to do, but running takes that place, and it's really worked well for her.
Awesome. Yep.
So do you get out and run with Molly pretty much every day? Or I guess kind of to get into that a little more, tell me first, what does your schedule look like? What is your, maybe even what is your running training look like right now? You said you're getting ready for either a fall marathon or a half marathon?
Yeah, that's correct. So I'm going to be doing the Marine Corps Marathon, which is late October. It's funny, I usually do the Chicago Marathon. That's where I'm, that's where I live. But I decided to do something different this year. Done Chicago two times before, always wanted to do the Marine Corps in DC. So doing that one in October, and official training starts in about a week and a half or so, about 2 weeks.
Okay.
But I'm kind of just kind of maintaining, for now, my mileage. So I generally do about, say, 3 or 4 shorter runs.
Okay.
Well, I'd say 3 shorter runs, 1 mid-distance, and then 1 longer run per week right now.
Okay.
So about 6 days per week, try to have 1 rest day. And then I take Molly out. Obviously, we walk every day. We run about 3 to 4 days per week with Molly right now. And especially now it's finally feeling like summer in Chicago.
Yeah.
So some of these temperatures are preventing us from doing too much running, but we still are shooting for, I try to take her out on about half of the runs I do. And those for now are the shorter runs. So they're some of my recovery days, which are usually after a long run, I'll do about 3 easy miles and I'll bring her along. And she's actually very fast. So I've been asked, like, how does she keep up with you, those little legs? And I tell people, you know what? She could outrun me. She just can't necessarily, she doesn't have the endurance yet to do the long runs, but she's quick.
Yeah.
So some speed work days I'll take her out too, but yeah, about 3 to 4 times per week with Molly.
And then doing like a long run on the weekends?
Yeah, exactly. So usually the long run is reserved for Saturday or Sunday, depending on how the schedule works out.
Okay.
That's what Molly's doing for now. I'm going to try. It's going to be interesting. I think once the weather cooperates a little bit more and it's not in the 80s, I'll try to get back up into building up her mileage. But I'll be just as happy with, because to me, it's funny. A lot of people are not as excited to do the longer mid-distance runs. Like the short runs, they're fine.
Yeah.
I always just feel like 3 miles isn't like that exciting for me. Like it's not like I even get a workout in. And she's helped with that, because it's fun to go out with her and just kind of adds in the recovery run too. It's like, well, just a slow 3 miles, but she's made it more fun.
I can sense a lot of my listeners probably rolling their eyes like, oh, a short 3 or 4 miles. I guess when you get into that training program, when you do run marathons, you know, your long runs can be up to, I guess you probably hit up to 18 or 20 miles.
Exactly.
I know. Yep. I usually top out at about a 20 mile run. So yeah, suddenly it makes your midweek 3 mile run, it's like, why am I lacing up my shoes just to go run 3 miles? It's hardly a warm up at that point. But it is nice, especially after that long run or those session runs during the week where you're running really hard, really fast. It's nice to have that day of recovery and just let your legs rest. So yeah, that's a perfect day to, for me, especially when I take Rue out on those days, like I don't even run on the pavement. We go run on the grass somewhere just to get that full recovery effect. And she loves it.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. Well, I assume that you work full time.
I do. I do have my 9-to-5 job, which I kind of have to balance the marathon training around. But yeah.
Which most of us do. There's very few of us that are lucky enough to be professional runners.
Nowhere near the pro level.
I don't think I want to do that. And the reason I ask that is, are you able to get out in the mornings, or do you tend to go out in the evenings?
There's Occasionally, I will get a run in the morning.
Okay.
And that's actually what I prefer on the weekends. It's almost exclusively morning runs. It's
Yeah.
very rare that I'm out there in the evening on the weekends.
Okay.
During the week, and in fact, summer makes it a lot easier. I know gets a little bit dark and cold in Chicago other than the season. So
yeah.
Now is actually when I can get those morning runs in on the weekdays, but weekdays are generally after work.
Okay. I was wondering that is, you know, getting out early in the morning for maybe cooler temperatures with Molly.
Yep. That's exactly it. I think now it's been very, very cool. We got very lucky with, I would say, cold spring.
Yeah.
So far. And just this week, it started heating up. So we may have to rearrange the weekday runs a little bit. Although evenings around here are actually pretty nice as well. It does cool down quite a bit.
Okay. What's the humidity there like?
Bad. It's humid.
I guess you're right there on the lake
bad.
Too.
Yep.
Yeah, I've been to Chicago a couple times, but it's been a long time. I can't remember what it was like.
I mean, we have our good days and bad days. This weekend was it's just been rainy, humid.
Yeah. I think that's been pretty much the weather that the whole country has seen lately. It's been a really strange, like, spring. It's been a lot cooler than normal, and it's been a lot more wet than normal.
Totally. But you know what? I'll take cooler if it just wants to be cold all summer, but I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, no, it's going to heat. I have a feeling it's going to heat up really quick and it's going to be a lot more extreme this summer. So keeping our fingers crossed, keeping our paws crossed. We'll see what happens. Hopefully it won't get too bad.
Yes.
So yeah, running in Chicago. Tell me some of your favorite spots. You say you're a little bit outside the city. But are you still doing any runs, like urban runs in the city? Any favorite spots right around where you live?
Yeah, exactly. I'm very close to the city. I'm in the suburbs, but
okay.
it's a fairly easy drive on the weekends into Chicago. And my husband and I do a ton of stuff in the city still. So we like to bring Molly downtown.
Okay.
Which means we do have to drive and park somewhere, which can be interesting, but we do drive down there. There's an amazing lakefront trail. I believe it's over 20 miles or
oh, wow.
just around 20 miles of just lakefront, some harbor stuff, and it's just gorgeous. And I want to say just last year they separated biking and runner lanes, which has been amazing. So don't have to worry about moving over for
nice.
Bicycles, can just kind of zone into the run and go, and it's gorgeous. You see the skyline on a lot of the paths. So for anybody that visits Chicago or lives around here, I would recommend checking out the Lakefront Trail. There's walkers too. You don't have to run or bike. So that's fun.
Okay. And that's the trail that goes like right along like Lakeshore Drive.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I think I've actually been on that before. Yeah, it is pretty nice, and it just goes and goes and goes. That is a paved trail though, right?
Yes, there is. It's paved. There is almost like a little gravel section. So
okay.
I know when I was having some knee issues one year, I was kind of sticking to the gravel that seemed to, or almost like a dirt path that seemed to work better for me, but generally
yeah.
stay on the paved part.
Okay.
That's in the city. And I'm very lucky because I live right by, it's also kind of a system of trails within a forest preserve.
Okay.
And so generally I usually do about a mile of a warm up with Molly, and we'll walk, we'll do kind of a slower jog to actually get on the trail.
Uh-huh.
Cause there are some traffic lights to get past. So that we take easy, and then we'll get on this trail. It's shady. There is, it's mostly paved. There is some of dirt parts that are nice too, but stays cooler. It's really nice to be more in a nature setting with trees all around. We'll see deer, like families of deer, almost every run, little like bunnies hopping around, which can sometimes distract Molly. So we're working on the distractions there, but it's cool. You almost feel like you're in a little fairy tale running through there. So we do enjoy that.
Which one is that?
That would be, so there's a couple, it depends on which direction I go.
Okay.
One is called, we start at the Skokie Lagoons and then it turns into the North Branch Trail,
Okay.
which actually goes pretty much right almost into the city, but I
Oh,
haven't
wow.
run that quite that far. And then there's another one that goes the other way called the Green Bay Trail, both equally gorgeous, I would say.
Okay. Gosh, I'm actually looking at it on the map right now. That's really cool. It's just a green space that travels just right into the city. That's really great.
Yeah, and you know what? It wasn't until, say, just a couple years ago that I realized I think the Chicago area or the Illinois area has the like forest preserve system.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize the whole country kind of doesn't have something similar where basically a developer can't come in and chop down a forest because it's
Yeah.
protected by these forest preserves. And it's very like it's lucky to live by something like that. So I'm grateful.
Okay, so well, that's perfect because that brings up something that I'm not used to seeing. And as I've been kind of scrolling through your Instagram, and I keep seeing, and I'm probably going to mispronounce this terribly, Arboretum?
Arboretum?
Arboretum.
Yeah,
There we
you're
go.
close.
Yeah, it's all of your photos are these different arboretums, which is pretty interesting because I've never heard of this. And I'm assuming that these are all the little preserves just kind of all over town.
Sort of. So if you've heard of like a botanic garden,
Yes.
it's almost like that. It's different from the forest preserve. I believe it's managed more privately than a forest preserve, but
Okay.
it's almost like a botanic garden, but with a focus on trees.
Okay.
So they have all kinds of different species of trees. And we have one in the Chicagoland area that I'm aware of, but we've actually done a road trip to Indiana to visit one there and kind of all over the Midwest. So we're lucky to have those.
Yeah. Okay, so then going back to the forest preserves, you have more forest preserves than anything else in the city or around the city.
Yeah, it seems like we have quite a few around here.
And I guess the other one that you mentioned was, or the one that you had told me about earlier was Waterfall Glen Forest Preserve.
Yeah, that one is actually one that I discovered just since I got Molly, because I was like, well, we've done our kind of the Skokie Lagoons, the one that's right by our house a lot.
Okay.
Molly loves, it seems like she loves just discovering new spots. Like she sniffs everything in a new
Yeah.
place. So I was doing some research and just looking up places to hike around the Chicagoland area.
Okay.
And that one came up. It was, let's say, 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, it has, they're not huge, but just has beautiful waterfalls, a ton of trails, lots of other dogs, which Molly loves, just meeting every single dog
Okay.
that she passes by. So it's always fun discovering new places like that. And I do a quick Google search, like best natural hiking areas around northern Illinois or just northern Chicago or
Yeah.
my area.
Yeah, there's a surprising large number of them. One of the reasons I really liked looking at some photos of Waterfall Glen Forest Preserve. What's neat is it's beautiful. It's amazingly beautiful. And then right in the center of it, the whole thing is centered, or the whole thing surrounds Argonne National Laboratory, which does, I think they have a photon accelerator in the middle of a forest preserve, which is
Yep, that's, you're
it's a
right.
great place to put it. It's really cool, but the land where that laboratory is just it's amazingly beautiful. So very
Yeah, and
cool.
it's funny. It's funny. I'm like, I wonder what the effects of their stuff is. But then I look around and all these trees and everything is growing so well. I'm like, well, maybe all the radiation they're working on is good for us. I don't know. But no.
I think the one there in Chicago is just their photon accelerator project that they do. I have no clue what they do. But the
Yeah,
land around it looks beautiful.
it really is. Yeah.
Okay, so those are some of your favorite local places. Any favorite non-local places, things that you have to drive to a little further?
Yeah, so we've done quite a few road trips actually just to our neighboring states. I'm a big fan of Wisconsin and Michigan and Indiana, which is our neighbors. And I've
Okay.
taken Molly already just in the few months that I've had her to all of those places. And it's funny because usually the way that I decide where to go is if I find some kind of an event, like we're just in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Because I found there was like a Pups and Pints event at a beer garden, which is situated within this huge, I'm not sure if it's a state park, but it's like a huge park. I think it's called Petrifying Springs is the official name.
This sounds like fun.
So huge dog park, lots of trails, and then they had this event. So it's about an hour drive
Okay.
and took her out there to kind of explore. And then one that is on my list that I would recommend to anybody around the Illinois area or even worth the drive is Starved Rock State Park,
Okay.
which I've been to several times and just waiting for a little bit of a cooler weekend to bring Molly so we can just spend a whole day hiking around. It's huge, it's gorgeous. That would be top of my list right now.
Starved Rock State Park.
That's right. Yep. So has awesome hikes, lots of waterfalls to check out.
Okay.
Picturesque.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Oh, it's got like some big, looks like limestone waterfalls
Yes.
that have carved out some, not caves, I forget what they're called, but yeah, just some really pretty limestone waterfalls in there. Oh, that's really nice. That's really cool.
Yep, exactly. And I love stuff like that because the thing with Illinois and this part of the Midwest is we're generally extremely flat. There's not a ton of mountains, which I've been out to some gorgeous places with mountains, but we try to find the nice hiking trails and stuff like waterfalls to at least make up for the lack of mountains.
Yeah, something that's got some interesting features to it. I'm all about finding stuff like that.
Exactly.
And you said that's how far away?
Starved Rock from us is about 2 hours, I would say,
Oh,
maybe
okay.
just over 2 hours. It's not far.
How does she do in the car?
She's been better. So when I first adopted Molly, I was a little bit concerned because our first couple times in the car, she was very, very anxious, was like
Yeah.
pacing around and doing the heavy panting and just not loving it. And I was talking, a lot of my friends have dogs, and they're like, you know what? She'll get used to it. Just crack a window, she'll be fine. I was like, are you sure? She's kind of making me nervous. But she's been, the last couple trips, she's been great. So seems
Okay.
like they were right. Just let her get used to it, and she's been
And I think
good.
that that's one of the posts that I saw previously and I commented on. And I know
Yes.
that everyone has opinions and stuff. So I didn't know if you'd actually tried anything different, other than just going with it and seeing if she would get used to it.
Yeah, you know what? The only thing is, we did get her like a doggy seat belt,
Okay.
just because we're all about protecting her. If on short, like if we're going down the street, if we want to drive somewhere close by, like taking her to the groomers, I don't bother with it. But like highways and stuff like that, we like
Yeah.
to have her buckled in. And then we'll bring on the longer trips. If we're staying somewhere overnight, we just bring her bed along,
Okay.
and she kind of just lays down in there, and that seems to work well.
Talking about traveling and going different places, how do you find the places that you're traveling to? I mean, are there any specific places that you have picked out or planned? Or when you're on the road, how do you do your research? What do you look for?
Yeah, so usually we start with, unless there's some event going on where it brings us out to a certain location, we like to research a lot of just outdoor places to go hiking, go running with Molly. So that's where we start. And then finding places to stay is just seeing kind of what is pet friendly. And we like to stay away from the chain hotels. And
Sure.
in fact, I like to kind of stay away from chain restaurants, most stuff. I like really just local, unique places.
Okay.
So we'll look up kind of where little like B&Bs that allow pets, or I guess just unique hotels that will let us bring Molly to stay. And then restaurants too that have the patios where we can just kind of hang out nearby where we're hiking and go get a meal.
Are there any different, anything app-wise or online that you use for finding locations?
So I would say restaurants are the only things that we've, in terms of finding what's pet friendly, is it's bringfido.com.
Okay.
And it's a good place to start, but you basically put in a zip code or a town that you're going to be in, and it shows you a list of restaurants, and then they have ratings based on how pet friendly they are. I say it's a good starting place because there's a lot of restaurants that are just not ranked or don't have any reviews.
Yeah.
But there are some that do have the reviews, and that's what we go off of. But I always call and just ask and double check, because places have come up that say you can bring the dog, and then you call them and they're like, no, you know what, you can't. And it could be something changed there, or just somebody put in something incorrectly. So it's a starting point, and then always double check.
Do you ever do any camping with her?
That's on the list. I definitely would love to.
Yeah.
And just because it's finally getting warm enough to camp, although I don't mind camping in cooler weather, but it's just been rainy and very cold. But we definitely want to check some places out. Wisconsin and Michigan have awesome camping, and even some places in Illinois too.
So I guess you're sticking mostly to right now. And I guess since you've only had her for just a little while, you haven't really had much of a chance to get out and go camping with her just yet. So sticking mostly I like the bed and breakfast, but also I can't believe I just recently found out about pet-friendly Airbnb places, and that's an option.
Oh, nice. Yeah. We definitely need to check that out too, the Airbnb. So you can just select pet-friendly on the filter, and then it...
Yep. Okay. It makes things really easy. We actually just went out to Colorado and we stayed at an Airbnb out there, and it was pretty easy. And there were actually a whole bunch of different places that allowed for having a pet at your Airbnb. So yeah,
that's good to know too. Yep. I've used Airbnb before, but I don't think I have since getting Molly. So that's good to know. I can just check off the pet friendly spots and use that.
Well, how was she when you first got her with her leash behavior? I mean, was she pretty good? Had she already learned some leash behavior?
You know what? She surprised me quite a bit, because from what it seemed like, the foster house she came from had a ton of space. It was a farmhouse.
Yeah.
And they would just let her run around there kind of freely. And it almost seemed like the only time she went on a leash was to go into the car, go to the vet, and come back. She didn't seem like her foster mom was walking her all too much on a leash, but she did awesome. Like it seemed very natural to her to be on it. She doesn't do a ton of pulling just on the normal walks. Just, it's really when she gets distracted that she'll try to run after something, but she's just very well trained in general. And I don't know, it seems like she's been with several owners before. I've heard, I think it was her foster mom that told us this is her fifth home in 5 years.
Wow.
And ultimately the final one is I'm not giving her away. So, it seems like somebody did a very good job training her. So she's been awesome.
Okay. So she does really well on the leash. You said she's also pretty social, that she's pretty friendly with other dogs. I'm assuming she does not have a whole lot of reactivity issue with other dogs.
No, she's very friendly and wants to say hi to every dog she sees and every person too. And I warn people, they're like, oh, can we pet your dog? And I'm like, absolutely, she'll love it. But just a warning, she may never let you stop, because she does have a tendency, like once you stop petting her, and she came over and letting me pet her right now. Once you stop, she'll start like crying, as if like, it's like, oh, just keep petting me. So I do warn people, like, she'll want you to just sit there and pet her.
Does she do the whole nose under your hand, nudge, nudge?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yep. And I heard that's common with Australian shepherds. So I guess she is partially an Aussie, is she just sticks her nose and like pushes your hand to force a pet.
My girl does that too, except she does the full body version where she just kind of like comes up to you and just body checks you and it's like, pet me.
That's awesome.
I'm totally used to that. When you're on the trail, when you're actually running with her, do you have any issues of her diverging off of your forward path to go meet other dogs or go say hi to people?
Oh yeah, that's probably the biggest challenge, other than I'm a little bit concerned about the heat with her. With myself, I'm like, oh, I'll be fine. Like, I can handle the heat. With her, I've been very paranoid about the heat. Other than that, that's probably the biggest challenge is her. Otherwise, I mean, her attention span's good. It's just, she'll see a dog, she'll see a person, just want to run straight to them. Yeah. So it's when I really want to kind of try to build up her mileage or kind of get a really good run in, we do try to go early in the morning. It's usually when the trails are emptier and less things to get distracted by, but we'll see how that goes, if we can learn to not kind of veer off course, or if that'll be just a constant struggle. But other than that, she's great.
Yeah. And I guess the trails there get pretty crowded pretty quick during the day sometimes.
I would say the ones in the city, the lakefront trail, that's very busy.
Yeah.
And she loved it just because of all the energy and all the dogs and all the people, but more distractions. The ones around us are a little bit quieter, which is nice. So gives us a little bit more, I guess, room to actually run and not get distracted.
Going back to dealing with the heat, what you just started into, what have you done to kind of handle running with the summertime heat with her?
So it's only been a couple weeks, if that, that it's been really warm here. We got very lucky with the cooler spring,
mm-hmm.
but it's really just getting out there before it gets too hot in the morning, or when it's starting to cool off in the evening, I would say is my biggest piece of advice. So middle of the day, usually not ideal. And water, I think is huge too. And this is probably one of my favorite things that I've gotten from Molly, is this little collapsible water bowl. That's almost like it's like a nylon pouch. It's not one of those rubbery collapsible bowls. So it just kind of clips onto the leash. It doesn't really bounce around. It bounces a little bit, but anything crazy.
I'm guessing it's so small and lightweight. When it bounces, it's not too much of an issue.
No, it's not a big deal at all. And it has a little pocket where I just stash her treats too. And that's really nice.
Okay.
And it unfolds. You just pour water in. Just make sure that she stays hydrated is the biggest thing for me.
Do you know what brand it is?
Canine Equipment, or CE, like, is their little logo.
I'm always curious to know. The funny thing is I just run with a water bottle, and Rue has learned to drink out of the water bottle. Like, I don't even have
you don't need
bowl.
A bowl.
Well, mm-hmm. It's nice, except for it, you know, when the water bottle runs out. Sometimes it would be nice for her to be able to drink. But then she also likes to just, I plan a lot of our runs around like places where I know there's going to be running water. She loves, especially when it gets hot, to lay down in puddles and streams and stuff like that and just completely get soaking wet and muddy. So,
nice.
And then she just drinks there, which is, I don't know. I guess that works too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. Molly will drink out of puddles too. I'm just like, are you sure you want to drink out of that like dirty puddle? But she'll do it.
Yeah. And I'm actually pretty picky. Like, some of the trails that we run on around here, I know have running water streams or ponds. Oh, hey there, Rue. And she just walked into the room. Come on. Hey, girl. Come on. Come on. Good girl.
And what breed is Rue exactly?
She is a Catahoula.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Specifically, she is a Red Merle Louisiana Catahoula cur.
Oh, does that explain her name? The Louisiana? Oh, no. I was like, maybe.
Yes, the Louisiana... Her name Rue came from that, and then her full name is Rue the Shark, which is just because of her puppy teeth. Really,
oh, that's
is
awesome.
What that was about.
Okay.
And but that Merle is the most unique, and there's two versions of it. There's and it's the same thing with Aussies. There's a blue Merle, and then there's a red Merle. The red Merle is kind of that brown and tan, and the blue Merle is more of, and I think that's what you have, is kind of that black and white.
Yep.
It's also there's grays in there as well with the blue Merles. And those,
exactly, yeah.
Those are the two common genes that are out there. So,
very cool.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry to, I said, speaking of tangents, going off completely on a tangent.
No, I love learning about other dogs. So this is a good one. Good tangent.
So yeah, she's been great. And yeah, that herding part, I guess for Molly as well, you know, with Rue, that's what makes it just a great running dog, hands down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's really good, at least Molly too, is in terms of when we're out, she has all the energy. And then she's also very low key when we're actually finally home at the end of the day. So I don't know if Rue is the same way or if she's just kind of a always ball of energy type of dog. But
the older she gets, the more of she is not always a ball of energy. She used to be, and she definitely has her like high energy, kind of like a zoomies moment.
Mm-hmm.
She will do that on occasion, but now she turns it on and turns it off very quickly and very easily. And she is very good with settling down and being lazy the entire day if she wants to.
Sounds like Molly too. Yep.
As soon as her harness comes off the hook, you know, we have a coat hook in the back room. As soon as her harness comes off the wall, it turns on. And she knows.
Yeah.
And also with her running leash, because it has a metal carabiner on it, as soon as I click the carabiner, the gate on the carabiner, and she hears that sound, she knows it's time to go for a run.
Nice.
And she gets just totally exuberant. She gets excited.
You just see like the tail start going like,
oh,
ready.
Yeah. Oh, she comes running up to me. When she sees the harness in my hand, she comes running up to me and presents herself to have her harness put on, and she'll stand there and let me put the harness on. That's like immediately like, okay, it's go time. Let's go run.
Yep.
And then, yeah, she gets into a zone when we're running, and it's slowly built up, you know, kind of the same way when we first started, when she was about a year and a half old, when we started running, she would go, 1, 2, 3 miles and she was done. And now we're doing, gosh, last month we did an 18 mile run together.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
So yeah, the endurance comes in. It just takes it takes time, and we've built up slowly too. Actually, before I go too much further, I wanted to bring up some of your Instagram posts, because of your running. Obviously, you have some healthy habits, and that includes how you eat, but also how you feed Molly. And you've got a couple recipes for human food, and also you've got some cool recipes for doggy treats as well. Maybe you could talk a little bit about those.
Yeah, absolutely. And I by no means am like a nutritionist. that's not my 9-to-5. But I do very much try. I can't say I'm always a healthy eater, but it is in terms of kind of my day to day. I basically try to eat clean, which is just as little processed foods as possible. Just kind of whole, real food is my go-to. I don't eliminate a ton of stuff other than stuff with, when you see on a package, there's 20, 30 ingredients. That's the stuff that I will kind of try to leave alone. But yeah, for myself, I just try to go natural. And some of my recipes that I posted, a couple are the simple ones are my own. The ones that are a little bit more complicated, I can't take credit for, but I have kind of curated a few for humans. And one was actually the one I found. They're called protein breakfast cookies.
Okay.
It's kind of a cool story is how I found that is there's a girl I follow that does create original recipes, and she is a runner as well and runs with her dog. And we connected, I believe, just because of the dog running thing. But then I saw she creates these recipes. So I reached out and I'm like, hey, what do you think would work well for a Fuel Friday? And she gave me a couple suggestions. I loved her protein breakfast cookies because I was forced to give up gluten a couple months ago. That was a really difficult stage in my life because I love breads and biscuits. But these cookies were made from like oat flour, so completely gluten-free. They still looked amazing. They turned out so good. I was like, this is just the perfect collaboration. Is we're definitely like-minded people. You're a runner. You try to kind of use food as fuel. And I call my segment Fuel Friday for the healthy recipes, because as runners, I think we're just always thinking about what can you eat that's going to help you get the most out of your runs, whether that's what you eat before or after. And and it's just cool that I found this recipe creator who is like-minded, like us. So that was the protein breakfast cookies. And then in terms of Molly's recipes, I kind of take the same mindset that I do with my own diet and how I feed Molly.
Okay.
And that's really just, even in terms of her kind of everyday food, I still buy dry food that that I think most people do, but I just look for, I think mine has 7 ingredients, just really simple. And every once in a while, I'd say maybe once every couple of weeks, I'll do a homemade treat for her.
Okay.
Because even the treats that I buy, I try to look for the cleanest stuff, but it still has, I don't know, 10 ingredients or so. So I like to stick with like 5 or under is my favorite, because it's simple and it's healthier. So I've experimented with a couple, and she loved both.
Yeah, the one that I'm looking at here is the peanut butter pumpkin treats.
Yes, she did really like those, and those are so easy to make and actually really fun, because it just reminds you of making like Christmas cookies as a kid, like just kind of doing the cutout of them.
And yeah,
it was a lot of fun to make, and just probably took me, I don't know, 10 minutes to actually throw them together and then stick them in the oven for a few minutes.
Oh, these things look totally professional too.
Oh, good.
Oh, is that her barking in the background?
Yeah. And it's funny. She doesn't ever bark outside. It's just when she sees, I don't know, somebody walking past inside that she feels like she has to become a guard dog.
Hey, there's someone here.
I don't know who's out there. Thanks, Molly.
These things look really professional looking. Like I first saw them, I was like, oh wow, where did you get those? And then I realized, oh, you made those. And that's kind of how I started looking at more of the food stuff that you have.
I'm glad I pulled it off, because I can't call myself an amazing baker. I dabble in it, but that's, thank you.
I am not either. So when I see stuff like this, I'm always amazed. But pumpkin puree, peanut butter, eggs, and flour. That's pretty simple.
Yeah, it is. It's very simple. And actually, what's funny is what I like about this is I had, before my wheat gluten intolerance, is I had this whole wheat flour that I would make stuff from, and now I can't use it for myself. But Molly seems to be doing good with the wheat, so I'll use it in her treats and finishing off that package.
I also like the fact, and this is something I look for when I'm getting stuff for Rue, is if it's something that actually tempts me to take a taste of it, it's probably pretty good for her too. When I look at it and go, oh man, I could eat those.
Exactly. Both of these treats that I made for her they're all just human ingredients that we all eat, I think, on a daily basis. So it's...
Yeah, the other one's the... chicken and biscuits.
Yes.
Which is, gosh, it is, it's really simple. Chicken.
Exactly. Yep.
Greek yogurt, wheat flour, egg, and water.
Yep.
Nice. Have you tried
those
one?
Those were actually easier to make. I tried a little, a little piece of one just to make sure, but she was like obsessed with these treats. I think she liked both. I think these, just because these actually had chicken
meat
in them.
Yeah.
She loved them. And it was just more a matter of like, make sure you don't eat her too many, because she would just give you this look like, give me more. I need more.
And then you start telling your friends about the time you made something with chicken and maybe peanut butter in it. And they're like, what?
It's for the dog. And these Yeah. These you don't mix the chicken and peanut. This is
No,
just
no,
chicken.
no. At some point, I could see that happening though, and it sounds like
She
it'd
would
be a
love
good,
it.
oh yeah, it'd be a great combination for a dog, but all your friends would look at you like, "What are you eating?"
Exactly. And the nice thing about these, though, is you can just use, like, if you had a chicken recipe that you make for yourself and you just had some leftover
Yeah.
chicken, you can just use that. You don't have to make a
Yeah.
whole chicken just for the dog. Just use the scraps.
Well, all of this look really cool. I think eventually what I'm going to have to do, because I've come across some other people that have some kind of quick and easy recipes for making dog treats and things like that, I need to put together like a collection of recipes from different interviews and stuff, and we'll put out a cookbook that has dog treats and human treat recipes.
Oh my gosh, I love that idea. I would for sure get that. Try to make stuff from
We'll have
it.
the Collective Adventure Dog Podcast cookbook. I think that'll be great.
I love it. Have you heard of the Run Fast, Eat Slow
Yeah,
cookbook for runners?
Shalane
Kind of
Flanagan.
like that.
Yep.
But for yep, I have that. And maybe that's what inspired me to kind of have a segment like this, is I love that book.
Yeah.
But we could do a doggy version. That's a good idea.
It is. That's a great book. I actually have that book too. I'm a huge fan of Shalane Flanagan, so that
Me too.
was immediately as soon as I found out that she had that, I went and got it. And it's full of really cool recipes. So yeah, maybe at some point I'll hit you up for a couple different recipes, and we'll include those in the upcoming Adventure Dog Podcast cookbook.
Love it, yeah. Happy to contribute to that.
Kind of moving on to, and I know we've talked about some places that you have been to. Any places that you have planned for the future? Any big adventures?
Yeah, so the next one we have on our calendar with Molly is to go down to St. Louis. And it's
Okay.
actually just outside, kind of like we're outside of Chicago. My cousin lives in a town outside of St. Louis.
Okay.
And I'm super excited because she's opening a coffee shop. And I believe she's actually going to host like wedding. It's going to be a huge kind of a rural outdoor space for weddings and stuff like that. And it's
Nice.
not officially opened yet, but she's doing a little preview for family.
Okay.
So taking Molly and road tripping, it's about 5 hours there. And I know there's a lot of parks and trails to explore, but she'll get to go to the coffee shop space and meet. I know my cousin has three pit bulls who
Okay.
I've never met. Molly hasn't met, so she'll love that. And we'll plan some runs and hikes while we're there, but that's the next big one.
Yeah, St. Louis area has a whole lot of just natural stuff. Missouri in general is just full of outdoor areas just everywhere, state parks and everything. So, yeah,
Yeah,
definitely.
so excited.
Well, that also leads into the next and my favorite question is that pretend I'm going to take care of all of your responsibilities. I would say that you don't have to worry about training, but since that's kind of the fun part of the stuff that you do, getting ready for the marathon, I'm going to take care of all your responsibilities, all of your expenses, and if I could give you and Molly a ticket to go anywhere, where would that be?
I'd say we'd probably like to go to, and it's a toss-up for me. I love the Southwest, but I really like Utah and Arizona. I've been to both
Yeah.
places and a few times for work, a few times for fun. But I think I mentioned earlier in the interview that it's just very flat here. We don't have mountains.
Yeah.
So the mountains out in Utah, and I've been to Sedona in Arizona. It's just like a different world for me, the red rocks and all that. I think Molly would just have a ball hiking some of those.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, I think it would just be a change of pace for us because we have a lot of beautiful green space and trails, stuff like that, but we don't have mountains. So Southwest would be great. But if
Yeah.
you could actually take on all my responsibilities, you can. I'd love it.
That might be the hard part, but going out to the Southwest is actually relatively easy. You know, we've actually, since I've had Rue, that was kind of where our first trip was. Our first real big trip was out to southern Utah. So I can definitely say that, well, first of all, yes, it is amazing. I always tell people when I die and go to heaven, it's going to be probably in southern Utah.
Uh-huh.
And it is absolutely amazing. There's so much stuff to do. And kind of where you were talking about, Sedona area, it's surprisingly green as well at different times of the year. So there's mm-hmm. so many beautiful trees out there. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. All of that area, Utah, Arizona, even New Mexico, some great, great, beautiful mountains out there.
I know. I'll have to see how long of a drive it would be. Eventually it'd be interesting to try to drive, but
not too bad.
Okay.
And I think you could actually break it down without actually going on the Google map right now and mapping it out. You know, it is definitely, it's going to be like a 2.5 day if you're kind of taking it easy, but you can kind mm-hmm. of, it definitely wouldn't be as bad as you might think, but that's kind of all part of the adventure, is planning it out so that you can make those in between stops at different locations on the way. When we do take our big vacation and our big trip, it's about a week and a half, and we're able to spend probably 4 or 5 days out in Utah, and it's every time it's just totally worth it.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a bucket list item for Molly and I.
Yeah, we'll get on that. We'll take care of that. And of course, if you ever do decide to make that trip, the cool part is, I know suddenly through this podcast, I've come to know quite a few people out in that area. So hit me up. I'm sure I can put you in touch with some people that are out there and can also give you advice on where to go and what to do.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, is there anyone either on Instagram or in real life that you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, absolutely. Really, I think all of my Instagram friends, whoever is listening, you're all so awesome, and I've learned so much from all of you, and hopefully we're here to inspire all of you to kind of get outside with the dogs. Although I think all of the people that for now follow us are kind of like-minded people, but hopefully in the future we'll inspire some others to spend a little bit more time outside with the pups.
Yeah.
But in real life, I'd love to give a shout out to Molly's dog, Dad, my husband, who documents all of our adventures. He goes on, I would say we drag him on some of the runs and adventures. He's fast. He's a good runner, but he's not as dedicated of a runner. So we drag him out. He documents us. So we're
so
very
he
grateful
carries
for
the
that.
Camera for you as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. This is something, this whole time I've been looking at your Instagram and I've really been enjoying all of these photos. And I realize now it's all pictures of you running with Molly. And I never stopped to think about, wait a minute, who's taking the photos? So that's him.
Yeah, he takes one for the teams.
That's great. That's really awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. A big shout out to him. What's his name?
His name's Ari.
Okay. Thank you, Ari.
Yes.
Shout out to you. These are some great photos.
Oh, he's definitely not a professional photographer, so he has fun with it, but
that's what it's all about, is just having fun.
But I'm glad you're enjoying them. Thank you.
Yeah.
No problem. I'll give a shout out to my mom. Hi, Mom. She loves Molly. Molly's her grand dog. So anytime we chat on the phone, the first question is, how's Molly doing? It's not how I'm doing or my husband. It's how's Molly. And we have a cat too. Molly has a cat sister called Whiskey. It's always like, how's Molly and Whiskey? So.
And then you had one other that you mentioned.
Yeah. An Instagram friend of mine whose Instagram name is I Eat Spinach.
Okay.
Just a really funny dude. He supports all of mine and Molly's adventures and kind of shares his experiences. He has, I don't want to be wrong on this, I think like 4 dogs, but I might be miscounting. He has a lot and just kind of contributes to I always like to ask questions on Instagram just to hear about what other people's experiences are. And he's always great about contributing and what he's doing with his pups. So,
oh yeah,
hi, I think his name's Jason. Hi.
I'm looking at his stuff now. Oh, this is awesome. Yeah, he's got a bunch of dogs, mm-hmm. and he runs a lot. Oh my mm-hmm. goodness! And
he does runs... a lot of trail stuff.
Yeah.
Too so.
Yeah, he's got some great posts in here. Definitely, that's I eat spinach. That's I_eat_spinach. I'll include him in the show notes.
Yeah, he just has a lot of funny insights and posts, though. I like people with a sense of humor.
Oh yeah, me too. Yeah, okay, I gotta stop looking at his because I'll start laughing my head off here, and I'll get totally distracted. Well,
cool.
Jane, I thank you so very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you about Molly, and I'm going to keep track. And so you're doing Marine Corps Marathon. That's one I've looked at doing, but it's always really hard to get into.
I did some kind of, they do a rush registration. That's what I did. It's okay. Like they open it up for like an hour. And you have to time it where you log on, you register, and I did it that way and got in. So
okay,
we'll see how it goes though.
Well, yeah, definitely. I will have to check back in with you and see how your training goes and maybe make some posts about that in the future leading up to the marathon and see how everything is going.
That sounds great. It was great chatting with you. I appreciate it a lot.
So again, thank you so very much. This has been really awesome.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
I'll talk to you later.
Uh-huh. Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was Jane, and hopefully you heard Molly in there too. She wanted to add in her opinion as well. I'm actually recording this on the 4th of July, and I am trying out one of Jane and Molly's recipes. So wish me luck. If they turn out all right, I will post a couple photos of my results. I also want to follow up on last week's episode. Last week, immediately after, I had a great conversation about being leashed and knowing when and where to be off-leash, Rue actually escaped from a large fenced-in private off-leash area. Luckily, she was located later that day, and she is safe, but she got frightened by a thunderstorm, and it just goes to show that even in controlled settings and a safe area, unexpected things can happen. I want to give a huge shout out to my partner for helping me stay calm and doing probably most of the legwork of finding Rue. I think the poison ivy is slowly starting to go away. I also want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all of the awesome individuals on Instagram that know and people that don't know Rue, but immediately jumped into action and helped spread the word. Again, this community is just such an amazing and powerful force, so y'all truly rock. I am still searching for adventure dogs doing cool stuff, so if you happen to be one of those dogs, let me know. I want to talk to you, especially if it's a topic I haven't covered, like biking or kayaking, or any surfer dogs out there. Hit us up on Instagram or email me at nathan@adventuredogpodcast.com. Wherever you're listening to this, it would be awesome if you could take a moment to rate us or leave a review and hit the subscription button to catch us each week. As always, thanks for listening. Now, go and have an adventure with your doggos.